Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love. One man.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
Is it? Is it really, though? A lot of scientists and experts, 5 out of 18 of them, agree that this is Rose Buddies. Hi, I'm sick. I'm sorry about that. I have a sinus thing. I don't know, man. I think I'm on like an every other week schedule now with my body. Do I need to do yoga? Do I need to find some way to release the toxins from my system? Because all my nodes, babe, they're just flooded with, you know.
You know what? I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of suggestions to do the neti pot.
Oh, don't even talk to me about the neti pot. I invented the fucking neti pot. We just came from the beach. Let's go get away. And I tried to, our friend Evan talked to our neighbors under their tent, and he had 3 boogie boards, and 2 of them were for children. And this whole plan was fucked from the start. But he convinced the man to let us borrow these 3 boogie boards, and I took one of the kid ones. And I was out there catching some fucking waves. And I was out there doing my thing, hanging torso, and I caught a big one, and I pushed the nose of the board, you know, I tried to pull it up a little bit, catch a little bit more of that. Somehow I manipulated the situation, and I got thoroughly douched by in every hole by this big powerful wave. And so I basically neti potted myself kind of with the ocean. I also lost my fucking prescription sunglasses. It's the worst basically like day of my life.
You know what's interesting is that I knew you were going out there to do that.
Why did you, I guess my question is why you let me.
You know what I realized is that I didn't.
It was a child's boogie board for a little boy.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
But also, I didn't watch you at all.
Babe.
I did not have that instinct.
I guess we had our son and like.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing any fucking rad extreme sports, but like, whatever. I get it. He's good to look at. Anyway, there was no episode of The Bachelorette this week. And
correct.
We didn't want to not do an episode again because we just skipped one because they also didn't have an episode like 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Was the NBA Finals.
Yeah, and this one was just like they weren't feeling it,
I
guess.
It's like July 3rd, and we're like, we might lose some viewers. Let's not do it.
Yeah, sure. And so we wanted to still do an episode, and we like talked about what we could do an episode about, and it was like, do we just do Terrace House? Like, no, we did Terrace House. And honestly, I have really, really enjoyed Aloha State, but I don't want to really like go back and rewatch all of it in a week so we can like take notes on it and shit. Is there some Bachelor or Bachelorette thing we want to do? Like, no, not really. We, to be frank, talk about that show a lot, not during this episode. So a little break from that is actually kind of sweet. And so what we talked about is just like,
you want me to take over?
Yeah, why don't you take over? Because
your voice sounds so rough.
It sounds really bad is the only thing.
So Griffin and I, when we started this show, we wanted to talk about a show that we loved, which at the time was The Bachelor.
Right.
And then we lately have had a more problematic relationship with it, and we're realizing that a lot of our discussions are not focused on love as much as disgust.
Which is not like, I feel weird complaining about that, right? Because it's like, we didn't like make a decision to do that. It's just like, it's to the point now where, I don't love watching the show as much as I used to because I think the show has gotten more and more harmful and bad, right? And so what we talked about was for this episode, like, what if we just talked about stuff that does make us happy and stuff that we love and like possibly if we can do it in a way that is not full blown, like Gwyneth Paltrow goop, like you've got to get fucking gooseberry bubble tea.
Yeah.
It'll empty out your tear ducts. And it's like, okay, goop.
And I will say that Griffin and I have identified some things to talk about, but we have not shared them with each other.
This is very exciting for me. I also don't know how many things you picked up. This may be like a 10-minute long episode, which frankly, I would love to go get back on that big, beautiful couch and watch more Great British Baking Show with you. So let's just see what happens and talk about some stuff that we're excited about that makes us very happy. And can I start off?
Yes, please.
Mine is the starting point, the very first one, and this backdoor pilot of our good goop is 12-hour Sudafed. And this is an obvious pick for obvious reasons. We were talking about this on the couch. There's a lot of medicine where when I take it, I I can potentially forget I've taken medicine. Like, I got a sore back, so I'll pop a couple Ibus, I'll take a couple Profens. And I don't know why, by the way, my painkiller brand loyalty is so...
I noticed that. I've never seen you take, like, an Advil, for example.
I just love these little ibuprofens. Maybe it's just the form factor. It's all the same, like, right? It's all the same medicine. Please don't at me. and so you take a couple Ibus. You pop a couple Ibus. Mm-hmm. Because you got a sore back or a sore neck or your shoulders hurt. And maybe you feel better, and maybe you don't. But the fact remains is that I'm not thinking the whole time, like, I've got this good Ibu energy coursing through my veins, making me powerful, making me strong, making me forget my weaknesses. Ibuprofen is weakness leaving the body, but I'm not constantly thinking about it. 12-hour Sudafed. And by the way, fuck off with that 4-hour shit. Like, I can't believe 4-hour Sudafed still gets to be called Sudafed.
I know. It's a totally different active ingredient.
It's like, if you called, like, Diet Dr. Pepper Bullet Bourbon. Like, it's two completely fucking different things. It's 4-hour Bullet Bourbon. No, it's a different thing. Please don't drink and take Sudafed. I would never fuck with that. I'm stone cold sober recording this Bachelor podcast right now. Except for this 12-hour Sudafed, which, when this motherfucker rolls up on your system, Osmosis Jones style, it makes itself known that it is present for the whole half day. It's like, what's up with your... Maybe this is just my story, my struggle, because I get, like, sinus infections, like, 16 times a year. But, like, I'd pop one of these boys, and it's just like, what? I'm in your fucking face. I'm fighting all this stuff out, yeah. And I'm making you feel really weird in your brain. Like, hey, did you realize your mouth's been hanging open for 45 minutes? That's me, Sudafed. I'm up here 12 hours for 12 whole hours.
You know what it makes me feel like? Because I also love Sudafed.
I don't love it because it's like a psychedelic drug. I really suffer from very frequent sinus problems. And it's the only pill I take in my life. I take like a fucking Beano when I'm gassy. And I'm like, oh, am I not gassy anymore? I guess whatever. I take a Sudafed. It's like fucking faith healing has been done to me.
It makes me feel... like a bag of popped popcorn.
Oh.
In that, like, my whole head is kind of blown out a little bit. It's like open concept head. And I can breathe. And suddenly it's like there's just nothing but air just circulating through my entire head region.
Last night, though, took it at 9 p.m. My dreams, babe, were fucked up. I was thinking when I was laying down, like, how I was going to start the finale for the Adventure Zone, the next episode, and somehow I got started thinking about a scene in which some characters were frying up some potatoes in a pan, and for some reason, like, I dreamed about people frying up potatoes in a pan in the Adventure Zone episode that was coming up for, like, 6 hours.
Oh, no.
I was trying so furiously to make it fit, and I couldn't figure out a way to do it. Anyway, 12-hour Sudafed,
you gotta put your name on a list if you want it.
That's the other thing. I get why, I'm mad at the player and the game at this point. Yeah. Because, 12-hour Sudafed, you have to, like, go to the prescription counter and put your name on a list to get it. And that sucks, because today's 4th of July and I needed more 12-hour Sudafed. You went to the pharmacy to pick some up for me. Couldn't do it. You brought home that 4-hour dog shit.
A joke. I didn't want to come home empty-handed, but I know that that's not the good stuff.
If I take 3 of them, mathematically, is it going to get me there?
No.
Damn it.
Wait, how many of the 12-hour? You're just taking one, right?
Yeah, babe. Okay. Come on. Sure. Here's the other thing. I respect 12-hour Sudafed. To be frank, I'm scared of 12-hour Sudafed. Yeah. It's so effective.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. It's annoying that, like, I have to put my name on the list and, like, go talk to another human being in order to get it. But at the same time, people who use this to make drugs, I get it.
I remember going to the doctor because I had a real bad allergy season 1 year and asking about taking Sudafed, like, how many days in a row I could take it. And I remember the doctor telling me that there are people that take it every day.
Those people are just rolling through life.
That's probably dangerous.
Yes, definitely.
Can I tell you about something I like?
Yeah, please.
The mystery flavor of Dum Dums.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Here we are.
So this is the white Dum Dum, right? When you unwrap it, like it's sort of like a semi-translucent white.
As I recall, yes.
Sort of a clear flake. Okay, let's get into this.
Okay.
Dum Dums I can fuck with, by the way. That is the perfect size for a hard candy experience.
That is like the main thrust of my argument.
Okay.
I am not somebody that can even finish a blow pop. Like, I make myself... What is that face?
I didn't make it. It was the sickness. Well, and a blow pop and a Tootsie Pop. A Charms blow pop and a Tootsie Pop. You get so excited the whole time you're working to get to the center.
Yeah, you're trying to get to the center.
And then, especially with a fucking Charms blow pop, it's like, oh, I'm here. Oh, this is it. Oh, God. Some nasty gum with shards in it.
A Dum Dum is like the size of a dime, I would say, but spherical.
Well, you got to be careful in this backdoor pilot, because I'm pretty sure people know what a Dum Dum is. Right?
I want to assume they don't.
You buy them in a bag, and the bag has 500 of them, because Dum Dums are so little and so good.
Or you go to a bank.
Okay.
And maybe you get one there.
They are the national candy of banks.
Okay. Do you want to know a little bit about Dum Dums?
I would love to. Do you have Dum Dum facts? I don't have facts for any of mine.
I wanted to add some richness.
Okay. Enrich me.
Okay. 1924 is when they started in Ohio.
The Great Depression. They were like, we got to cut these lollipop sizes in half. Chupa Chups. It's a fucking luxury.
And let me tell you about the mystery flavor in particular.
Wait, are you serious about to, is this like, we're on season one of Lost and you're about to like ruin the end of it? Like, are you literally about to tell me?
I think it's really exciting.
Can I guess what the flavor is before? Is that not fine?
No, go ahead.
I've always thought it was sort of like a pina colada flavor. Like kind
That's
of.
I thought. I always tasted kind of either a pina colada or like a cream soda.
A cream soda might be it. Yeah.
Okay. So Dum Dums are made in 16 flavors with new flavors rotating into the mix every so often. The mystery flavor is a result of the end of one batch mixing with the next batch.
Oh my God.
So rather than stopping production to clean machines, the first batch into the next batch is the mystery flavor.
It's like a transitional Dum Dum.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me recognize why maybe it always tastes like pina colada, is maybe that's the strongest flavor they got.
A pina colada is the world's strongest. Yeah. It's the world's most assertive flavor. That's so interesting. So wait, so does every mystery flavor Dum Dum, is all of them different?
That's what I'm wondering.
Is all different?
That is maybe what I'm wondering now. Mystery flavor has only been around since 2001.
That's when we all got fucking lazy. Back in the 20s, you know, they would have like a fleet of kids like jumping into the the lollipop tumblers. That's what the actual Lollipop Guild is. Do you know that from Wizard of Oz? As a factual fact from the Dum Dum Factory, they would just throw like 6 to 12 kids into the vat, and they would just, you know, have to scrape off all the crumbles and whatever they could fit in their, you know, their overall pockets. They could bring that home to the family. And that's dinner for a night, because the Depression wasn't anything to fuck with. But in 2000s,
you're talking about kid flavor lollipops right now?
No, I'm saying the kids would bring all the shards from, you know, the day's lollipop making back home to the family.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about kid flavored lollipops, Rachel McElroy. You thought the kids were being dissolved in the... No.
I thought you were saying Dum Dums as people.
Well, don't get me wrong. It was the 20s in a factory. People were ending up in the lolly, like 100% chance, like 100% chance there's some like dude Dum Dums out there. But 2000, we don't do that. We don't fuck with that anymore. But we also got really lazy. And so it's just like, ugh, what's the point? Just let them mix together. Somebody ate this, like, this isn't bad. Can we make this something else and have people talk about it? Build brand buzz. That's me. It was me. I was the one who invented it. That was interesting, baby. Thank you for the facts.
I'm a big Dum Dums fan. I'm not a real into sugar hard candies in general. Oh. I know Griffin loves a good Jolly Rancher. I am not a huge fan.
Jolly Rancher, Dum Dum, I think beats Jolly Rancher, because a Dum Dum, you got options. A Jolly Rancher, you put that in your mouth. That's it. Until it's done, you either spit it out finish it. A Dum Dum is like done. Pop. It's still on a stick.
Yeah.
It's got its own little serving tool there. Mm-hmm. Let's get some fucking Dum Dums tonight.
I don't want to.
Can I do one?
Yes.
This one is, I have written simply, the way Guy on Terrace House waters his succulents one leaf at a time.
Oh, God, that scene.
That guy. There's a character on Terrace House season, I guess he comes Aloha in about halfway through, yeah. Aloha Stay. And I, again, I don't want to get too deep into it, right? Because I don't want to give any guy-based spoilers. He's my favorite person who's ever been on the show. He's my favorite person who's ever been on my favorite reality television show. He is all-time top contender. He's a surfer boy. He is, you know, looking for love in all the right places.
And you know what? He's super rewarding because when you first meet him, he's just kind of the typical surfer stereotype. Mm. But there's so much depth there.
He has a childlike sort of awe about all things. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of really incredible arcs. Here's a slight spoiler for a couple episodes after he joins the show. So if you want to stay pure, just jump ahead. He gets injured while surfing like really big waves on the North Shore. And then he has this whole arc about having to like come back because he has like a Volcom sponsorship and having to like come back and get brave in the water again. Yeah. And it's really, really fucking exciting to watch. It's like the best. It for me, that's up there with the beef incident. Like it's really, really good character work on like this really great dude.
So you're saying you like him more than Hansan?
Yeah, I like Guy more than Hansan. Wow. I like Hansan a lot. And Hansan, I think, is sort of a figurehead in my mind. And is, don't get me wrong, one of the all-time greats. But everything Guy has gone through in this half a season is like fucking stellar stuff. And the ultimate, just all the castmates, and it's a really, really great slate of cast members right now. All of them just sitting around the kitchen table, just cackling, dying, laughing as Guy is watering his succulents. And everybody's like, what are you doing? As he slowly drips one drop of water at a time on each and every leaf of the succulents. I've never, this is going to sound bad. I've never loved anybody in a moment as much as Guy in that moment. It was so pure and wonderful. I guess our wedding. Okay. the list goes our wedding and then Guy watering the succulents one leaf at a time. Mm-hmm. All time best shit. God, I love Terrace House.
Agreed. That was a really good moment. And Guy is such a special man.
He's such a special man. Rachel's looking longingly at the ceiling fan. I don't know if I believe in angels, but I believe in Guy.
He has kind of a Clarence. It's a Wonderful
Life. It's sort of like a Clarence. It's a Wonderful Life quality. And his direct foil in the house is Taishi, who's been there forever. And I genuinely believe is on sort of an Armon trajectory where he will never leave. Only I enjoyed Armon. And I'm starting to enjoy Taishi less and less. But Taishi is very... kind of, it seems a little disingenuous, his actions, while Guy is just shooting from the hip. And he doesn't always say the right thing, but you know where that thing came from, and it's his hip, where he shot from.
Yeah.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you. Okay, I have another one for you, Griffin. Are you ready?
Yeah, please.
This one took a lot of research.
Oh my God, babe, I feel guilty about, I didn't know that we were sawbonesing it. I didn't know we were, I didn't know we were schmannersing this one.
Well, I don't always trust my memory on things, so that's kind of why I did that. Okay, this probably won't come as a huge surprise to you, but the 1990-91 St. Louis Blues.
Oh, the 1990-91 St. Louis Blues?
Correct.
I mean, I know you're a Blues fan, mm-hmm. and you know I'm getting there, but I didn't know you had like 1 year where you were like mm-hmm. in it. So you were eight, nine
years old. Mm-hmm. And I can give you some information.
Please do. What was it about this year? Did they win the big one? The pennant?
No, the Blues have not won the Stanley Cup in my lifetime.
Oh, wow.
Or ever, as far as I know.
I know another one of Rachel's favorite things is me taking this fucking jacket off because I'm so sweaty.
So, I was 8, 9 years old, and this is back when Brett Hull was playing for the Blues.
Okay, I've seen this man.
What do you know about Brett Hull?
I've seen him at some of the games, and he doesn't look like he's played hockey in the last, like, 30 years.
Did you know anything about him while he was playing?
I don't know fuck all about hockey. I know that there's...
What do you know about, like, Wayne Gretzky?
Wayne Gretzky was really good. He played for the Kings, I think, for a bit. And,
also played for the Blues, briefly.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Okay.
He played for the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, so he was kind of all over. Mm-hmm. And he was like the best one of the hockey players?
Yes.
I don't get any...
Some even called him the great one.
Okay. I get no satisfaction from the like, little sports ball. I get a little bit of satisfaction, but I genuinely want to know more about hockey. Mm-hmm. So please tell me about this year that this hockey team did very good and why it brings you so much joy today, fucking 25 years later or whatever.
Okay. So just for some comparison, when you think about Brett Hull, so I looked, this year's highest goal scorer had 44 goals.
That seems like a lot. How many games do they play in a season?
From what I can tell, there's about 80, like somewhere... between like 75 and 85 games usually.
82.
Yeah.
Good call.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's, can I say something? Mm-hmm. It's like one in every other game. That's not very good.
In the 90-91 season, Brett Hull scored 86 goals.
Fuck! That's more than one per game, Brett. Uh-huh. What was going on? Is this
there
like
there were 80 games in that season. He scored 86 goals.
Is this like an ancient civilizations were smaller than us thing? Like, just like everybody was so little and Brett Hull was like a huge man and he just...
The emphasis used to be on having these big power players.
Yeah.
And so the rest of your team just all supported that one guy, basically. That's from what I can tell because it just doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. So this guy would, you would watch a game and you'd be like, I can't wait for when Brett Hull scores. Mm-hmm. Pluckers would like do a fucking get a basket of chicken wings if Brett Hull scores one. Exactly. And they would go out of business because then he'll score six.
So he also that season scored 50 goals in 50 games.
Wow.
Which used to be a big thing. He is only one of like half a dozen players that have ever done that. And he's done it multiple times. This 86 goals is the third highest in NHL history behind Wayne Gretzky, who did it twice. He got 92 in one season, Jesus. 87 in another.
Wayne.
I know. This goal scoring season was the highest in Brett Hull's career.
What happened? Like, seriously, did goalies just get like fucking good? Is how has hockey changed in the last like 25 years? Where like
is what I'm telling you. I think the emphasis is more on like a team dynamic,
okay,
than like a big power player.
It
like,
spread the goals around. So for what you have to keep in mind, Brett Hull scores 86 goals, mm-hmm. and then like the next highest person's like 12 goals, and they're like, come on, Brett, you know they pay us $100 for each goal we make.
So
trying to get a commission, trying to feed my family, Brett. It's going to be a slow Christmas this year because Brett Hull took all the fucking goals. Puck Hog. Is that a thing, Puck Hog?
No. No, his dad was a famous hockey player named Bobby Hull.
Okay.
And he was called the Golden Jet. And then
because when he ate spicy food, he turned into a big golden jet. Yeah, of course.
Fast. I don't actually know. But Brett Hull was called the Golden Brett.
That's very good.
So one more thing,
okay,
about that team. So part of the reason Brett Hull scored so many goals is Adam Oates was the center, and he assisted Hull on 72 of the 86 goals.
Best friends forever.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. These two, you see these two fuckers coming at you like you may as well just clear the net because they're going to work together to get the thing in.
So I want to show you a picture.
Oh, please.
So it was Brett Hull and Oates.
Oh my God.
And so they did a big thing like Hall and Oates.
Now this is a signed poster. Is this from your dad?
I'm showing Griffin a picture. No, my dad actually had, they made binders like trapper keepers to put hockey player cards in.
Hall and Oates.
My dad has one of those, but that I found on eBay. But it's a picture of them holding their guitars that I'm sure they play. In their ice skates and leather jackets and jerseys.
I can't tell you how jealous I am of you for having fucking sports idols growing up. I had none. I had a fucking coat that I got at the consignment shop that had like Emmett Smith's name on it. And I was like, I guess Emmett, who do you like? I guess Emmett. I really don't have anything.
You know, I think that
Chris Sabo was the only other sports pull. And
I don't know who that is.
He was on the Reds, and he wore glasses. And so he had to wear big goggles over his glasses. His name was Chris Sabo. And we had a toy where he was sliding into the plate and it looked like he was flying while holding a magic pizza box. These are my sports facts.
Did you
facts.
Like him because he had glasses like you did?
I didn't have glasses until I was in like high school.
Right.
And this was long after Chris Sabo had retired, I think. He was a third baseman at the hottest, sexiest baseball position. Chris Sabo and his magic pizza had not a big part of my upbringing, sports.
So that was the thing. Like Brett Hull was one of the best players in the league. So living in St. Louis at the time, it became a really big hockey town.
Yeah.
So that season, Wayne Gretzky obviously had the most points because he was an incredible player. But right behind him, leading the entire NHL, was Brett Hull and Adam Oates.
I love that.
So we had like the two of the greatest players on one team.
Two of the best time. Friends of all time.
Mm-hmm. There was also just one last fact. Jeff Brown, who was a defenseman, And you know, defensemen, they usually hang back by the net. They're not usually big on the offense.
Yeah.
Jeff Brown had 47 assists that season.
Okay, so like second best. Yeah. Oates is my number one best friend.
But defensemen's like, that's not really their goal. Their goal is to stop people from scoring, but he was just a super great player.
You know, you get that shit in Hull's hands, and it's they'll call a penalty because you're not supposed to hold it with your hands. They'll make you stop playing. They'll send him to the punishment box.
So the last fact I'll say is that I think it was a Sears in which I waited in line to get a picture of Jeff Brown signed because he was super dreamy.
Oh, I didn't know that the sexuality was a factor.
Jeff Brown definitely was an attractive hockeyman.
Wow, interesting.
The Blues didn't win the Stanley Cup that season.
How did they not with a fucking, like,
I know.
Power couple?
So they played Minnesota, who ended up going to the Stanley Cup.
Oh, I see.
But Minnesota lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins with Mario Lemieux, one of the other great players
Hey, babe.
Yeah.
Well, is it right to say, can I steal you away? Because this isn't really a traditional episode.
I think so.
Okay. Hey, babe, can I steal you?
It's a remix.
It was a remix. Well, typically in remixes, they don't just like cut out the middle of it. Is the hey, everybody, we're Coldplay. Was the remix to Yellow. We just took out the bridge. We said, fuck that bridge. Moves too slow. I'm Chris Martin. And it was all Yellow. I have a couple Jumbotron messages here, and the first one is for Madame Commissioner Sarah Shepard from Rose Buddies NYC, who says, who say? It's multiple people, definitely. It's probably not just one person who's like, I'm New York Rose Buddies.
No, we got a big network.
No, I know, we got a big network. What's up, y'all? I hope you're all hanging out together.
At the Hinterlands.
At the Hinterlands, probably. Tell Stuart and Charlene I said, what's up? Drinks are on me. They're not on me. I have no way of doing that. Excuse me. Just kidding. That was a motorcycle that drove by. But the joke was that maybe it was a fart. What's wrong?
There's no way. The microphone really picks up the motorcycle?
I'll turn up the gain.
Oh, okay.
To the best Bachelor Fantasy League commissioner in New York, nay, the world, thanks so much for all you do, from organizing our two leagues worth of teams and keeping us updated on the standings, to securing Hinterlands as our official viewing space week after week, and always making sure there are enough chairs. We cannot thank you enough. That last one, I feel like, was maybe included as an afterthought. Cannot stress enough how important having enough chairs are. I didn't add that on my list this week, but on my list of good goop stuff, having enough chairs.
If we go to a bar and it is standing room only, mm-mm. I walk out of that place so
it's
fast.
Walking room only to the exit. Bye.
I came to sit.
We went to a restaurant. You. We just got back from South Padre Island. We went to a restaurant. All the restaurants down there are kind of a shit show just because, like, it's not, there's not many of them. And so
and there's like two good ones.
And there's on only like two good ones also.
Yeah.
And we went to one of those two good ones and we went to this bar space and there was a table with four chairs and there's six of us. And it was just like, now we're going to have to fucking form a committee. We're going to have to evaluate each other's like posture and standing health.
Wrestle.
And then we luckily got another table, two more chairs. And finally everybody had enough chairs. I never felt so relieved in my life. very good story that I feel great about telling. I have another message here, and this one's for Cody.
Can I read it?
Yes. It's just the computer's so heavy, and I'm so weak from the disease. Don't catch my disease from touching my laptop.
This message is for Cody. It is from Allie. Happy birthday, Cody. Thank you for constantly serving looks, reminding me to check my ego at the door, and podcasting with me every week about the trashy world of Twilight. Here's to your next year of zagging on him.
So important that you check your ego at the door, especially when you're walking into a podcast studio. I have to remind myself to do that. I got a little sign hanging over the door and says, hey, Griffin, check that.
You don't. You never have an ego, Griffin. That's one of the nice things about you.
That's true. Twilight podcast, I bet, is good. Do you think there's much going on in that realm these days?
I figure it's probably done, right?
I mean, this is not to judge a podcast about. It's just like, you know, the Potterverse, fucking J.K. Rowling's always up in the set, like, you know.
Saying she's finished, but then bringing out
But then she
one.
Brings back one more. Mm-hmm. Here's some sort of mixed media experiment. I don't know, are they doing that with Twilight?
Well, I know Twilight was really formative for a lot of people.
That is true.
I think I kind of missed that boat, but I know a lot of people who feel very strongly about Edward versus
Jeremy. Jeremy, the wereboy.
Edward versus...
Jameson. I'm Jameson, the wereboy, and I'm going to kiss you on your vampire wounds.
I really can't.
Yes, okay. I'll look it up for you.
Edward is one of them.
Edward's one of them.
And if you're not Team Edward, you're Team...
It says here Gumball. Gumball the wereboy. So I was wrong before. It's Gumball.
No, Griffin. What is it?
Kevin.
Well, hoopity dop dop, scoopity dee dop, skibbity dabbity doobity hoopity hoop. Hoopity doo doo, de papity dee dee, de doo 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 da. Whoopity doo doo, rabbity hey hey, hoopity ha, it's a papa doo. Baby, doo 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 doo, ba dee da da, de doo 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 da.
Stop podcasting yourself. We don't even know anymore.
Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you download your podcasts.
Hey, I have one on my list here. Speaking of South Padre Island, the beach place, the Texas beach place, like the only one.
Okay.
I have written down here Bud Light Lime. And then I have next to that, I have written the Ocean Potion.
Oh, that's nice.
And then next to that, I have Fuck Limerita. All of these are all really important to understand. Bud Light Lime is a...
See, I feel like you should have research on this prepared.
What's to... I did. Can I tell you something? I Googled Bud Light Lime to find out what I could learn. And it's like 110 calories in a 12-ounce can, which is not bad.
I want to know when it came on the scene.
The mid-2000s.
Okay.
Bud Light Lime is Bud Light, but it has lime flavors mixed into it. And notice how I said lime flavors there and not lime juice. It is created not in a sort of monastic tradition, but rather the same way that I'm pretty sure Lucky Charms marshmallows are sort of synthesized. It is...
It's lime adjacent.
We bought a lot of them for the house that we stayed at in South Padre Island with our friends, and we would fill a cooler up and go to the beach, and I would drink this delicious sea potion right there by the waves, and just, you know, I could pound 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them on a good beach day, sitting out there, sanding my toes, surfing my ears, crabs crawling all over my feet, little kids playing around,
ocean
making little castles,
ocean
up my nose, doing a line of Mother Gaia's water. And then we would go home and we would have some in the fridge and we'd be making dinner and we'd be like, do you want a Bud Light Lime? And my answer would be, of course, fuck no. That was
yeah,
a confusing sentence.
You gotta be in or around a body of water.
If I'm in a swimming pool and I'm hanging out with my friends and it's 98 degrees outside and we're listening to 98 degrees
yes,
on the radio.
Yes, of course.
True to your heart. Come on, be true to your... Sinus infection, still fucking got it. And my friends throw two Bud Light Limes, one for me and one for my friend. I'll jump up in the air and I'll grab both of them and I'll drink them, but real
in
fast,
your
like
mouth,
Steve
like
Austin.
A dog catching a frisbee.
And I'll pierce it with my teeth and I'll eat the can. Because that's a fucking, what you're dealing with right there is a summer potion and I want to be a part of it. But then 60 seconds later, if I have to get up and go to the bathroom outside of the pool because I'm not a wild dog, and then somebody, I go inside and my friends are having some chips and dip and they say, do you want to drink with the chips and dips? We have Bud Light Lime. I would say, go to hell.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because you know why? Look
well,
at
you
these
know why?
Legs. They're
on... It's not a good beer.
It.
It's not a beer you want with dinner.
It's not. It's certainly not a dinner beer.
Which I think says something
unless,
about quality.
Unless. You're doing a fucking roast out on the beach and you got some rich citrus flavors.
You have to be water adjacent.
It's there's something to
that's
that.
Critical.
I have several theories. One, I think it's I think it's partially made of ocean water.
Mm-hmm. No,
I think there's a
right.
There's definitely. I'm not saying standard Bud Light is so great. In fact, I'll say this on the air: I never want to drink Bud Light.
If I gave you a can of Bud Light and an entire lime, do you think you could recreate the magic?
That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard anyone say in my life. Why would I want to is my response to that. There's no reason why I would want to do that. Because here's the thing. And I know I'm going to get lots of tweets from people just like...
It might save you a few cents to do it that way.
There are lots of loggers particularly Mexican lagers that I'll put a slice of lime inside and enjoy those on the beach.
Tecate.
Yes. I feel like that is the sort of Texas one, right?
Dos Equis.
So if I'm going to cook something.
You're going to cook. Yeah. Okay. I see.
Bud Light's never going to enter the equation. But Bud Light Lime is not Bud Light with lime juice in it. It's Bud Light with weird.
Like a lime popsicle.
With weird brackish lime water.
I bet if you took a Bud Light and a lime popsicle, you'd get close.
I think you'd definitely get closer than you would with a traditional lime from a tree or whatever.
Yeah.
I love these in the water. Mm-hmm. To me, and I get a lot of judgment from my friends. Like, we went to the trip, and the first day there, we were like, let's go grocery shopping. What beers do you want? My answer is always going to be Bud Light Lime to that. Cause I know, like, it's going to be fun to have these little nasty creeps in the water with me.
Now, here's the other thing that you haven't mentioned, although it makes sense when we talk about water adjacent. I would say that you only have these from like May to September.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to be fucking sitting in front of the Christmas fireplace with my family drinking a Bud Light Lime because, first of all, not in water, obviously. And second of all, it's just like, that's not the time. It's not the time, it's not the place, and it's not the beer.
Mm-hmm.
I have another theory, and this
Bud Light, by the way, and Anheuser-Busch are not a sponsor on this program.
No.
Griffin just genuinely loves
Bud Light. No, there's certainly not going to be after this next sentence, because I do think there's something about Bud Light Lime that makes it easier to turn into piss in my body. And I've had kidney stones before, and so that shit's always on the periphery of my decision-making. And so I'm thinking, like, how easy it going to be to convert this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer for Bud Light Lime is, I think, it's pretty good. And I'm not saying it's made of piss, because that's a really cruel thing to say about a beverage that I'm sure people work very hard on.
That's not what we're doing here today.
No, this is a positive place. I'm here to say this nasty beer tastes so good when I'm swimming. The ocean potion. I do want to tag this on the end here. Limerita, you flew too close to the sun. Yeah. No. Apple-rita, peach-rita, why did you? No.
So gross.
I've never once in my life drank Bud Light Lime and thought, like, what if this but sweeter? No, yeah, it's already good. It's already good.
Agreed.
It's already a light sherbet. I definitely don't need more in there.
Can I give you something I love?
I want that. Yes, I want it.
The 1990 film, Dick Tracy.
A lot of early 90s stuff in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a very positive childhood in a lot of ways.
Okay. What was so good about Dick Tracy, the 90 movie?
Okay, Dick Tracy. For some reason, people don't really like that movie, or critically, it did not do well.
I don't remember liking it very much, but I was three, so.
Directed and produced by Warren Beatty, who also was Dick Tracy. So maybe that's part of it.
Come on.
Maybe he leaned a little too hard.
All right.
You know who else is in that movie?
Madonna, I believe.
Yes, Madonna. And I love the soundtrack to that movie, by the way.
Okay.
Real good.
What was it?
I'm a huge Madonna fan.
Oh, it was all Madonna music?
Well, there were like three soundtracks released, because there was the Madonna part.
Okay.
And then there were like the other part of the soundtrack that had like Katie Lang and Erasure.
Can I be real with you?
Yeah.
I've never seen this movie. Never seen the film, Dick Tracy.
Oh, well, you said you didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I may have been thinking of, like, Cool World. I was definitely thinking totally of Cool different. World, yeah.
Who else is in it? Al Pacino.
He plays No Face?
No, he plays Big Boy.
Some cool names in this movie.
We also have Dick Van Dyke is the district attorney. We have Kathy Bates as a stenographer. We have Dustin Hoffman.
What's up with this cast, though? Fuck.
I know, right? Mandy Patinkin is in it.
What?
As the piano player.
Why have I not seen this film?
It's incredible. James Caan is in it. Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, my God.
It's a really good cast. And I just really liked it as a kid.
Break it down for me. Do you remember what happens in it? Can you give me, like, anything?
So there's a kid who's, like, this orphan. And the kid is played by the same guy that's in Can't Hardly Wait. The kind of the geek that becomes the star of the party.
Okay.
He's also in Hook. You know I'm talking about, that actor?
Yeah. The kid who plays the baseball son in Hook?
Yes.
The baseball son in Hook. Baseball son, baseball son, baseball son.
Well, you just look up son in Hook. It doesn't have to be the baseball son.
Charlie Corsmo.
Charlie Corsmo, yes.
Okay. So he adopts the boy and the boy becomes a crime fighter, I'm guessing?
Something like that. And there's a bunch of mobsters.
And the mobsters have fun names, right? Like No Knuckles and Fat Hog and Tough Feet and Stink Tongue
and
Shit Nose.
Sewing Callus.
Well, yeah. That doesn't really follow the same convention as the ones that I was producing, but I like Sewing Callus.
Tennis Elbow.
What is it you like that you like about Dick Tracy's? Is it his dick in the title? And that's obviously very funny.
That would probably be reason number 11, I guess.
Find that very hard to believe. What made you think like, I want to talk about this on this podcast?
Artistically, it's really cool. Like, there's a bunch of like every like kind of color and costume is chosen very deliberately to seem kind of comic booky. Which,
okay.
You know, I'm not a huge comic book fan, but I just visually, I remember really liking it. The music, as I mentioned, is good. And I don't know, there's really good performances in it. Al Pacino is incredible.
I guess I'm just confused as to, like, I'm talking about Bud Light Lime because I drank approximately 100 of them during this past weekend. But when you sat down to, like, really think of what to do, you know, I didn't ask you the same line of questions when you talked about mystery flavored Dum Dums, so maybe I should lay off.
Well, so I guess because, like, movies that I liked growing up are, like, Labyrinth, Princess Bride. Those are pretty, like, common favorites for people my age. You hear a lot of people say, like, oh, I watched Princess Bride hundreds of times. Like, yeah, me too.
Dick Tracy, bit of a deeper cut.
Yeah, but no, you know what you didn't watch?
What's
Dick
that?
Tracy.
Can I do one more?
Yes, please.
I have a lot of ones on here. Crab Legs, but I feel like my reasons for liking Crab Legs are much like my reasons for liking Bud Light Lime, except the Crab Legs are amazing, but it's really a beach time
food. So you really based yours on this past weekend.
Yeah, and it's what's hot right now.
Okay.
When a big dog and a small dog stand nearby one another. That was big for me this weekend on a beach. We saw that big Great Dane, and we saw a little Chihuahua with it. And it's like, y'all are the same animal?
Yeah.
That's wonderful for me. I said a hat on a baby. Because we put a hat on our baby, and it's just like, good. Are you kidding me with this stuff?
Oh, God, that's good. But our baby will wear a hat. A lot of babies will not tolerate a hat, but Henry gets it.
No, he understands what we're doing. I want to talk about Games Done Quick, which we literally just watched. Yeah. Henry woke up in the middle of this recording, and so we went and let him fall back asleep, and we watched some.
You may notice when it happens.
Yeah. So there's a speedrunning community that gets together twice a year. In January, they do Awesome Games Done Quick. And then in July, they do Summer Games Done Quick. So they do every 6 months. And they all get together for about 5 or 6 days. And for 24 hours a day, they stream these speedrun attempts for all these different games, raising money from viewers for charity. Right now, they're raising money for Doctors Without Borders. They used to do for, I think, like the American Cancer Foundation. That is not the name of the group.
Society?
The Prevent Cancer Foundation is what it was. And they usually bring in like $2 million. So, like, it's, to me, that part is really cool. And I've liked it for a couple of years now. I think game speedrunning is like really fascinating because there's so many different ways of doing it based on like what the faults are in each individual game. Like to me that there are entire communities of people dedicated to figuring out where the exploitable rough edges in the Super Nintendo version of the Mask video game adaptation of the movie, that there's like 30 people. Whoa. All just like cracking away. I referenced that, but they actually did that game like a couple years ago and showed off like they have fucked this game completely up. Like you can start the levels and like walk backwards and instantly finish them. And they Skyped in like an old like programmer on that game who the whole time was just like, oh no, what have you done to my baby? I find it really interesting that there are people who are like not only like preserving the past in this way, but like having to like dig into what it was like when they were making these things and then figure out how to work that into a strategy that shaves like a second or two off of the top speedrun time.
See, if I were to sit down and watch this, a lot of it would be nostalgia. Like I mentioned to you, like when I was a kid, I was really big on Sonic games.
Yeah.
It'd be fun for me to watch somebody play them.
I mean, that's every year they do like a whole Sonic block where they've just like, cause that game is all about going very fast. And so it makes sense that there's a huge community of people for every Sonic game where they're just like, year after year, you watch these streams and there's new stuff. There's new strategies they figured out. There's new weaknesses to exploit and new like bugs to go after.
But you're saying what you like about it isn't necessarily nostalgia.
It is partially nostalgia. Like I enjoy Like the runs I enjoy best are the ones where they take games that like I spent hundreds of hours playing when I was a little kid. And now they're like, yeah, we can beat it in 45 seconds. Fuck you. Like, I think that there's something really, really entertaining about that.
Yeah.
So Awesome Games Done Quick happened in January. And that was when Henry, our baby, just wasn't sleeping. He was sleeping in about 45 minute increments. And then there was about an hour and a half to 2 hours every night where he would just be up and I would start taking him into the living room so that you could get a little bit of sleep because you were breastfeeding. And, so like you would have to get up with him. And I would watch for a week. I watched AGDQ. I watched Awesome Games Done Quick. And because it streams for 24 hours, like I feel like I really enjoyed it before that, but it's always going to have like a really special place in my heart because of like, here's instant entertainment around the clock for a whole week. Like no matter what, it is cool to know I can turn on the TV and see some people who have worked really, really, really hard to master this thing that they are one of 20 people on earth even like attempt to do. Like to me, I think that's really interesting. And I have so much like respect for how much work goes into it. Cause me and Nick did a video where I tried to speed run Gone Home, which is not a game that you should like speed run, but like even that goofy joke video, like I had to work for a really long time to figure out, how to do it. Me and Clint Wilson used to play Ocarina of Time and see how fast we could beat it. And like we never went online to like look up the you know, the hot strategies or whatever, but like we did it dozens of times till we got it down to like about a tight 5 hours or so. I think it's really a really fascinating world and the amount of work that goes into it is kind of staggering and just the amount of, I find it refreshing thinking about the number of people who are putting so much time and energy into such specific things and that those people have like this week where they are like fucking stars and like people know, I've watched enough of these now where like I recognize runners and I'm like, oh wow, they picked up Half-Life, huh?
It's ooh, like that's the Olympics.
It kind of is,
what
yeah.
What you're describing, like, because that's one thing I like about the Olympics is that while the Olympics is happening, it's almost always on TV.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing people that have spent their whole 4 years or whole life training for this moment. And you're getting to see like a very specialized skill that almost nobody in the world has.
Yeah. I don't know. I like thinking about like dedication in that way. And like, it's like all that you see on display for a whole week is all of these people like showing what they've learned in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, you're not like a huge like video game person, but do you find the streams like entertaining enough?
No, when you have it on, I mean, I would love to watch it for a game that I was familiar with because that has not happened yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to watch. If people are interested, how do they do it?
Yeah. So it's running, the rest of this week. You can go to, I don't actually know. If you just look up Summer Games Done Quick, you'll get the website. I'm sure if you go to sgdq.com, you can probably find it, but I think it runs till Friday.
An app right on our.
Yeah. It's on Twitch, which is how we're watching it. But yeah, I fucking love it. I watch it I watch it twice a year for like 2 weeks a year. Like I just watch people do speed runs of video games and like I fucking look forward to it. And while we're at the beach, when I'd be like inside cooling off, you know, just trying to sweat off some of those Bud Light Limes, I would like come in and watch speed runs. And,
I feel bad because all of your things that you love happened this weekend and mine happened like,
like in the early 90s. Well, I like that.
Ago.
It's like a mix. It's like a time mix. Mm-hmm. We got to stop doing this podcast. I'm about to fall the fuck over dead.
Poor Griffin.
Also, I'm pretty sure my coughing woke up the baby earlier and I feel really guilty about that.
That may not be true. He is also sick, ladies and gentlemen.
That is true. God, it's a nightmare over here.
I am the only standing
Well,
survivor.
For how long?
Yeah, who knows?
Thanks for listening to Rose Buddies. That was our recap of The Bachelor this week. stay tuned next week. We're going to get into final six?
Yeah.
And then more shit will happen on the show. And then we'll talk about that. And so, anything else that we like need to talk about?
You know what I will say? If you enjoyed this episode and you have friends that don't listen because they don't watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette, maybe you recommend this one.
Yeah, sure. Give them this one episode.
Hey, what do you think of this cool couple about 1990s St. Louis Blues?
And the video game speedrunning community and the mystery dum-dums. Yeah, this might be a weird way to back people into the Rose Buddies experience. Thank you for listening. Sorry again for how I sound. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us. You can go to MaximumFun.org. I'm not crying. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great podcasts there. You can see all our shows at MacRoyShows.com. And happy 4th of July. Welcome to our Earth. And
thank you for listening.
See you later. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy.
When you're ready.
Final Rose. Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
Gaetje McFadden, Marina Sirtis,
Larissa Inbatur,
LeVar Burton, Patrick Stewart look like movie stars.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, you should just be on TV.
Sort of like when podcasters do this live.
Yeah.
Ben, the Greatest Generation is going back out on tour.
We're taking a new show out on tour about Star Trek First Contact, and whether or not you're a Star Trek fan, I think you're going to love this live show.
You come to our live show, you get Star Trek jokes. You get fart jokes. The whole gamut.
So come on out. It's bit.ly/ggtour2017. That's bit.ly/ggtour2017.